everybody, I'd like to go ahead and call the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to order. It's Thursday, March 7th, 2019. And we do have a quorum. We have here Rep. Foster and Bishop. What is your name again?
Mine's with Cluck.
Incoming Chairman Stedman, Giesel, and Johnson. So we have a quorum with some action. And the first order of action is to elect Mr. Tuck, who's here, Chairman. So Rep. Foster, do you have a motion?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I nominate Representative Chris Tuck as the Chair of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for the 31st Alaska State Legislature, and I move that nominations be closed.
We have a nomination for Chairman. We have closed. We have no objection. I guess we'll hand over the gavel to the new Chairman.
Thank you very much, committees. Thank you very much, Senator Stedman, for all the work that you did leading up to this. Now I'd like to open up nominations for Vice Chair.
I nominate, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cluck Bishop as Vice Chair of the Legislative Budget Audit Committee, Budget and Audit Committee, for the 31st Alaska State Legislature, and I move nominations be closed.
Okay, so without objection, congratulations, Senator Bishop, as being Vice Chair.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank my colleagues in the Senate for putting me here.
All right, well, thank you very much. We finally got organized after, I don't know, was it day 52 of the legislative session. Part of the lateness is not the House not being organized, and per statute we were supposed to be within 10 days of being organized. We're falling a little bit behind in that. I'm glad that we finally made it happen. I also want to thank Butch Carter with House Records and our meeting moderator, Flannery Ballard. And I'd also like to recognize Aurora Hawk, our vice chair staff, and then, I'm sorry, staff to me and staff to the committee, and then vice chair staff, Darwin Peterson. I also like to explain a little bit of the role of the alternate members, because legislative budget nods is a little bit different. Alternates are required or needed when we need to meet a quorum, and then only when they meet a quorum are they allowed to vote. Any member is allowed to attend. And we have our alternate on the House side, Representative Jennifer Johnston. And then on the Senate side, we have Senator Peter Michicki. Next order of business is the approval of the minutes. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee approve the minutes of the January 14th, 2019 meeting as presented.
Okay, hearing no objection, the minutes from the meeting from January 14th, 2019 are approved. Today's agenda, we're going to be looking at a presentation from David Teal, our Legislative Finance Director, and also from Chris Curtis, who is our Legislative Auditor. And then after that, we'll be going into executive session to discuss the legal guidance regarding the Auditor's opinion from the FY18 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and then also the FY18 statewide single audit. And Mr. Teal, if you'd like to join us and come to the table and go ahead and explain the interaction between the committee and the legislative finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Teal, Director of the Legislative Finance Division. The division does report to Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, although I think that Senator Stedman and Representative Foster could probably tell you that we spend a good 90% of our time supporting the finance committees in putting the budget together. So our interaction with the LBNA committee is primarily with the RPLs, Revised Programs Legislative, which are requests by the executive branch to be able to receive and spend money that wasn't anticipated during the year. Money has to be appropriated, and is in a broad sense. So these RPLs come to the committee, and I think many people who, when they first begin, believe that they're voting to approve or deny these things. They're actually reviewing the legislative or the RPLs, and that process is one in which you may remember Medicaid expansion that the committee did not approve, but that the governor went ahead with in 45 days, because under law, you review. If you deny or fail to take up one of the governor's requests, he can implement it anyway after 45 days have elapsed. So when you approve an RPL, you're simply not forcing him to wait 45 days. Then he can begin immediate expenditure. So the process for RPLs is that they send them to us about 2 weeks before a scheduled meeting. We review them, add comments, recommendations in the body of the RPLs. If we have any controversial ones, we talk to the chairman's staff generally, work it out. But the fact of the matter is that if we object or have questions that OMB has trouble answering, they typically will simply withdraw the RPL. So you see the RPLs that pass muster, and we post them on the website, our website, and typically let your staff, Mr. Chairman, know that they're posted. She would send an email to all members of the committee saying they're posted, go look at them, read them, get ready for the meeting. So we attend the meetings either telephonically or in person, depending on where they are, and go over the RPLs at your request. That's pretty much it.
Thank you, Mr. Teal. Any questions from committee members? Comments? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And if Chris Curtis would like to join us and explain the interactions between the committee and the Division of Audit.
Hi, for the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor. I want to take the time to introduce myself. I've been legislative auditor for 7 years and with Division Legislative Audit for just over 25 years. I have with me today Stacy Nyland. Stacy is our administrative assistant too. She helps support the office in all of our fiscal matters and will be helping this committee process payments for contracts and arranging travel for your contractors. I also have with me Gavin Berkey. Gavin is our communications specialist too. He edits all of our reports and correspondence and will be also maintaining your website. And also with us, we have Kimmy Laboca. Kimmy is our administrative assistant, and if you call our office, she'll be the first person you talk with. In your packets, you have a memo that I drafted to the chair, Chair Tuck.
May I interrupt you just for a quick moment? Because I failed to recognize we also have representative thank you, Delana Johnson, in the audience with us. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So you have a memo in your packets. That is a memo from myself to the Chair Tuck. I draft this memo for every incoming chair. It goes over the responsibilities of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. I'd like to share that with members because it's a good overview of what the committee's responsibilities are. The LBNA's main functions is to provide the legislature with fiscal analysis, budget review, and audits. And in that regard, the statutes give this committee several powers. They include the broad power to review revenue projections, state appropriation requests, the expenditure of state funds, and fiscal policies of the state government. Statutes also give the committee oversight responsibilities and, in some instances, designate the committee to be the primary representative of the legislative branch. So this memo that you have, I'm not going to go through it, but it includes all of those statutes that mention the committee and gives you an idea of to what extent those responsibilities have been exercised over the years. Also want to introduce the handbook. If you were on the committee in the prior legislative session, it's essentially the same handbook. We just updated the members. This handbook includes the authorizing statutes for this committee and your permanent staff agencies, the Division of Legislative Audit and the Division of Legislative Finance. It also includes your policies and procedures. They begin on page 39. If we know, we have included the date that a policy was adopted. You can see some of those go back to the 1950s. In general terms, those procedures guide how this committee does its business. It covers things such as how to release an audit, how to approve an audit request, and general things like your contracts and travel. I want to take a few minutes to go through the confidential report release procedures. Those are on page 47. Statutes make the audit process confidential. It's very important that you and your staff take the necessary precautions to prevent the premature release of audit information before this committee has had the opportunity to review it and officially release it. Reports are released in a two-step process. First, it comes to the committee as a preliminary audit. I take the preliminary audits, I hand it to you when you come in for the meeting. Then I go through those report conclusions and recommendations in executive session. Typically, when a committee comes out of executive session, the LBNA will make a motion to release the preliminary audit back to an agency for their formal comments. The audit remains confidential during the preliminary audit phase. The communications between the legislative auditor and the auditee are confidential. When I do receive their formal comments, I attach those to the preliminary audit and I bring it back to the committee for consideration as a final audit. Final audits are sent to committee members ahead of a meeting. When you're in session, they come 2 days before a meeting, and when you're out of session, at least 4 days before a meeting. They're delivered to your office in a sealed envelope. They're marked confidential. We ask that you or your staff sign for the audit. You'll also notice that they're delivered to you on blue paper. That is so you can clearly identify the confidential audit amongst the other information you may have on your desk. So are there any questions on the audit process? Okay, you want to quickly go over the status of our audits. You have a matrix in your packet that gives you all of the audits that are currently in our queue. There are 6 special audits, 2 federal/financial audits, and 3 sunsets. The oldest performance audit is one on the Testamina overhaul and refurbishment. That dates back to 2013. That was approved and we put it on hold pending the litigation between the state and the vendor. That litigation has been completed. It is my plan to evaluate the settlement, come back to this committee, provide a current status of that audit, and ask for direction on whether the committee wants me to go forward with the request at this point or to terminate the request. So that'll be in the near future. I also want to draw your attention to the Medicaid and CHIP eligibility audit, and CHIP stands for Children Health Insurance Program. That audit requires that we redetermine eligibility for a sample of Medicaid and CHIP beneficiaries. We're going to be hiring a consultant to do that work. We're in the process of the procurement right now, so I will be coming back to the committee in a month or so asking for approval for the contract. We also are hiring a consultant to test/review the IT controls over HSNS's new Medicaid eligibility system, ARES, actually just their eligibility system. And we're also going to have that contractor look at the edits in the Medicaid system, making sure that they're operating effectively. So again, I'll be coming back to the committee for approval for those procurements. And then finally, I just wanted to draw your attention to the Medicaid and CHIP travel cost audit. The audit request is in your packet. That audit request is dated December 2016. I want to draw your attention to the bottom of the page 1. Under the first bullet, the first sentence says, directs us to identify Medicaid and CHIP travel expenditures from FY14 through December 2016 and report the top 15 travel providers with the highest expenditures for FY16. So I'm asking the committee to consider amending that first sentence so it would allow us to look at information through December 2018 and report on FY18. That way the committee has more current, accurate, helpful information.
Okay, and And we've just been joined by Senator Von Imhoff, which means right over here, the third chair in next to Representative Foster. So now we have reestablished a quorum. Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the first bullet in the audit request dated December 2nd, 2016, related to Medicaid and CHIP travel costs be amended to replace the December 2016 with the December 2018 and fiscal year 16 with fiscal year 18.
See no objection. Motion has been approved. You may continue.
That's the end of my presentation. Any questions on the status of the audits, I can entertain those.
Any questions on any of the audits or any questions for Ms. Curtis? Okay. Well, with that, the next item of business, I'd like to go into executive session. Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22 of the Alaska Legislature. The purpose of the executive session is to receive legal guidance regarding the auditor's opinion on the fiscal year 18 comprehensive annual financial report and discuss the fiscal year 18 statewide single audit. I ask that the following persons remain in the room: the legislative auditor and necessary staff for the auditor, the legislative finance director and necessary staff for the legislative finance director, legislative legal services director and necessary legislative legal staff, any legislators not on the committee, and staff or legislators who are members of the committee.
Without objection, we will go ahead and go into executive session. We're at ease to clear the room. Budget and Audit Committee, back to order. We're coming out of executive session. I want to thank our House Records, Butch Carver, for being here. Also, our meeting moderator, Flannery Ballard. Is there any other business to come before the committee? Hearing and seeing none, I would like to adjourn the Legislative Budget Audit Committee at 7:55 p.m.